Sneha, from affection. Rudati,
Rudati,
crying. Ashukala,
Ashukala,
by drops of tears,
by drops of tears.
Ativivala,
Ativivala,
very much afflicted,
very much afflicted.
Bhavam,
Bhavam,
Lord Shiva,
Lord Shiva.
Bhavani,
Bhavani,
Sati,
Sati.
Apratipurusham,
Apratipurusham,
without an equal of rival. Rusha,
Rusha,
with anger.
Pradakshati,
to blast.
Eva,
as if.
Ekshata,
looked at.
Jatavevatu,
shaking. She looked at her uncommon husband, Lord Shiva, as if she were going to blast him with her vision. Purport. The word apratipurusham used in this verse means one who has no equal. Lord Shiva was no equal in the material world in regards to equality toward everyone. His wife Sati knew that her husband was equal toward everyone, so why in this case was he so unkind to his wife that he did not allow her to go to her father's house? This distressed her more than she could tolerate, and she looked at her husband as if she were ready to blast him with her vision. In other words, since Lord Shiva was the Atma, Shiva also means Atma, it is indicated here that Sati was prepared to commit suicide. Another meaning of the word apratipurusha is the personality was no rival. Since Lord Shiva could not be persuaded to give her permission, Sati took shelter of a woman's last weapon, weeping, which forces her husband to agree to the proposal of his wife. So the verse again. Sati felt very sorry at being forbidden to go see her relatives at her father's house, and due to affection for them, tears fell from her eyes. Shaking and very much afflicted, she looked at her uncommon husband, Lord Shiva, as if she were going to blast him with her vision. Om Janati Namasya Janachana Shalakaya Chakshur Nitanya Tasmay Shri Purave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kanchana Gauraki Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamam Hari Priye. Achakalpatarupyasya kripasindubhyaiva ca patitanam pavanebhyo krishnabhyo namo namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadara Shivasati Gopurvankarina Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare verse we are hearing about Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, who is now having a big desire to go and meet her family members in the house of her husband. In the previous chapter, we heard how the husband of Sati, Lord Shiva, had great difficulties of communication with her father, Daksha. Daksha had not respected Lord Shiva, and then there was a big quarrel, and they had to take a distance from each other. But right now Sati knows that her father is making another yagya, another ceremony, and she really wants to go and meet her family members. And we hear in that verse that because of so much affection for her family members, it became very, very difficult for her to respect the advice of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva told her, you don't go. And she really wanted to go. So it was very, very difficult for her to accept what Lord Shiva was telling her. And therefore, she became very angry. She blasted him with her glands. That means her glands was full of anger, and she almost burned him to ashes just because of the strength of her anger. And she lost the last weapon, like Prabhupada writing the purport, of having tears in her eyes and started crying. And Prabhupada mentioned this is the last weapon of the wife, the husband, to start crying. Now, it's very beautiful. I like very much this chapter. I was always very attracted to that, because we will read a little later that finally Sita decided to go in any way. Although her husband said, no, you don't go, she said, I will go. And she just left on her own the house. But Lord Shiva, who is full of compassion, told she needed protection. She is now living without me. So he asked all the strange servants that he has, all the type of different ghosts and Nandi, his bull, say, you go with Sita, you protect her. So all those funny living entities were going together with Sita to her father's house, and they were trying to please Sita because they knew she's dear to Lord Shiva. So if we can please her, we will please Lord Shiva too. So on the way to the father, they were singing. They were making a music arrangement for the pleasure of Sita. And there was even one person who was going to give her a mirror so that she could look at her beauty and feel happy about that while she was on the way. So it's a very nice description of how all the servant of Lord Shiva, all the ghosts were accompanying Sati to her father's house. Now when Sati arrived at her father's house, her father did not even look at her, just totally ignored her. And this was so painful. And all the servants of her father, all the priests, nobody looked at her. Everyone was ignoring her. She felt so pained by that. But the woman, the mother and the friends, they all came and offered gifts to Sita. And Prabhupada mentioned how religious I had to put the microphone further away from me because it was already too loud.
Okay.
I think we are at the last limits of the sound system abilities. And Prabhupada mentioned that actually women are more soft-hearted. No one of the women could this ignore Sati when she came. Only the men and the father did so. But Sita was so hurt at what had happened that she decided to give her body. She just generated fire into her own being and just left her body. That's interesting that already in that verse it's mentioned of Sati in the Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada mentioned that it was so hard for her to not go to the festival that she was afraid to commit suicide. But if we analyze the situation from the complete perspective, Lord Shiva had good reasons to tell Sati don't go. Lord Shiva most probably knew what will happen to Sati by going there. And therefore he said, don't go to visit, visit your family members. But still, she decided to go. And this is a little bit the point I would like to make in this lecture. Like receiving spiritual advices, receiving guidance, and then following them or not following them. And what is the result of following them or not following them? But first, I think it's very interesting to see that Sati refused to follow the advice of her husband because of intense attachment, intense affection for her family members. And Prabhupada many, many times mentioned that this attachment to family members is the deepest attachment in the living entities have. With our family members, we have spent so much time that the bond is very, very strong. Some years ago, Satchinandana Swami met with the devotees and experiment by doing a death meditation. He just put all of us into a meditation state, and then he told us a story in which we were all walking in the snow in the mountains. And then the weather became very bad, and a lot of snow was there, a lot of wind. And suddenly we lose the group of devotees. We find ourselves alone, walking in the snow, and we are totally lost, we don't know where to go. And we are screaming, calling, but nobody hears us, just the wind and the snow everywhere. And suddenly we fell down in a cliff and break our leg. And then we are totally immobilized into the snow, cannot move anymore, and slowly start to freeze in the snow. And at that time, we left our body in the meditation. And when I did that meditation, at the time I left my body, I remembered my parents. I remembered my sister. And it was very amazing for me to see, although I'm not thinking of them all day long, I'm not chanting their names, I'm not reading books about their glories, but still, they are very, very deep into my heart. And Lord Krishna said, what is in your mind at the time of death will bring you to the next body. So I could realize at that moment how strong are those family bondage and how they are keeping us, in this material world. So because of this strong attachment, Sati just could not accept what Lord Shiva was saying. And she finally decided to go on her own. So this is very often due to those material attachments that it will be very difficult to accept the advices of superiors, to accept spiritual advices in our life. Because we have our whole being is meant in seeing enjoyment for ourselves. But as soon as instruction come into another direction, into giving enjoyment to Krishna, then it's very difficult to accept that, to follow that. It is said it's much easier to do fasting. It's much easier to perform very big austerities than it is easier to accept spiritual guidance of the devotees. We were hearing yesterday about this ability that the jiva has to control material energy. And this is because of this desire to enjoy material energy that we take over the control. We prefer to ignore those instructions and take over the control. So yesterday we were hearing that the jiva is over the material energy and has ability to control material energy. Like I control this book, I control this computer, recording machine, many things I can control. But ultimately there is the supreme will of the Lord, there is the supreme controller. And we see that often while we are controlling over material nature is actually controlling over us. Like you see the example of a person who has a dog and is going out for the dog to do his needful activities, and he's thinking, I am the master of the dog. But all the time the dog decides where he wants to stop, where he wants to go, and the master had to follow what the dog wants. So actually this is the opposite. This is the man thinks he's the master of the dog, but actually that's the dog who is the master of the man. We see also that with our computers. We think we are the masters of the computer, but so often we just become totally absorbed into the virtual dimension of the computer and lose all our time, lose all the vision of what we wanted to do. We are just drowned by the material energy. So this desire to control material energy is actually very futile. It's actually very, very illusory. So the main reason why we are trying so much to control material nature is because we are attached to achieve a particular result. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained that this is what is binding. This is the activity that binds the living entity to the material world when it is attached to the result of the activity. And this is very difficult to become detached from the result of our activity. The whole reason we are acting usually is to enjoy the fruit of this result of our activity. But if we observe more clearly, we are all the reason why we are suffering. It's because we are having expectation of the goal we want to achieve. And when it doesn't come the way we want, then we are suffering. And if we observe properly our life, so many times things do not come the way we want them to come. We have so many experiences. We want things to come in a certain way, but just we see the plans of the Lord are different and things happen in a different way. Therefore the Lord said, detach from the result of your activities and then you can be totally free, then you can be totally happy. And Lord Krishna doesn't say only detach from the fruit of the activity, he's saying, please offer it to me. Don't throw it away in the garbage can. No, you offer it to me, the fruit of your activities, you offer it to me. So this is a very, very beautiful point for us to learn to give up this very strong controlling attitude towards material nature by understanding the result actually should be given to Lord Krishna. Otherwise, it will be painful for me. Otherwise, it will bind me in this material world. And if we see, we are put in so much anxieties just to fulfill, just to reach the goal we want to have, just to fulfill the expectation that we want to have, is the root of so many anxieties in our case. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 22, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that actually all living entities are part and parcels of Krishna. And because of being part and parcel of Krishna, they are actually moved by the Lord. They are actually under the supreme control of the Lord. And when the living entity can accept this supreme control and give up this controlling attitude, then it is in perfect harmony with the laws of God. This is the best situation. This is what we should aspire for, to be totally in tune with the plan of the Lord, to be totally free of wanting to control material nature and just become instruments in the hands of the Lord. I was speaking with one Mataji Urmila, a very advanced devotee in our movement, and she was telling that very often people are demanding in relationships. She was explaining that there was a lady who was all the time writing her emails, all the time asking for attention. And she told this lady, okay, you can write me email, but once a day only, please. Not more than one email a day. She was really demanding a lot of attention. But this lady was just not able, so she had to block her email to not get any email and to not be disturbed by this lady. And then she said, also in our relationship to Krishna, if we are too demanding toward him, then he will feel like taking distance. He will feel like, oh, actually, I don't feel like having a relationship with that person. He's too much demanding. So Urmila Mataji was saying, what I'm praying when I go to the deities is I pray to become available, to be there and say, my Lord, now I'm there for you. Please use me. Please take me as an instrument for whatever you want me to do. And this is such beautiful consciousness. When one can enter into that mood and even this very strong attachment to control and just desire to be used as instrument in the hands of the Lord. Our spiritual life is so beautiful. And we have so many sweet realization in connection to Krishna consciousness. Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness in practice. Once a devotee was writing me in one email, he was saying that actually all we are able to do is just the mercy of the Lord. So the Lord is giving us all the intelligence to serve Him. All His internal energy can enter our body, and then in our service we are giving it back to Him. Like whatever devotion we can have toward the Lord, it's something that is given to us. It's a matter of mercy. It's given to us by the Bhakta. Bhakti is given by the Bhaktas, is given by the devotees of the Lord. So this understanding that this ability to serve Krishna is actually given to us and we are giving it back to the Lord. It's just absolutely wonderful to have this consciousness. I had once this experience. We were in Radha Desh. It was last year, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. and thousands of devotees were there. And Mahaprabhu asked me to lead the Guru Puja Kirtan in the morning. I was very nervous, out of so many devotees. And while I was chanting, I remember that point. But actually, I have no credit. I have nothing really good from me. Whatever good is just given. It's just given to me, and I'm just using this back for the service of the Lord. I'm just the medium of the spiritual energy to go back into the service of the Lord. And suddenly, all anxieties were gone. And the kirtan just became so ecstatic. I was just so much connected in that kirtan. Having the understanding, the awareness that nothing is actually up to me. It's just the spiritual energy which is given to me, goes through me, and go back, given back to the Lord. And I think it's very relevant for all of us who sometimes need to have a role, a leading role in ISKCON. Devotees who are sometimes singing kirtan, singing bhajan, giving lectures, those devotees who need to put themselves in the front in order to serve Krishna. It's so easy to become proud. It's so easy to think that actually we are in control. It's so easy to think that we are doing the things, we are the works. But if we want to be protected by that, we should enter into that understanding that actually everything is given to us. We are just the mediums, and then we are protected from all this proud. Yesterday I was giving the Sunday feast lecture. I don't know if you noticed, it was a big struggle for me to give this lecture. But Krishna was teaching me, you are trying to control. You are trying to be in control. You want to do everything on your own. I leave you. Bye bye. And then I was here alone, trying to give the lecture. And it was very, very, very big struggle for me. That at the end of the lecture, I spoke with Gopal Krishna. He told me, say, yeah, sometimes Krishna just leave you. Just leave you so that you become more serious, you become more sincere, and you are not proud, you understand your dependencies under Krishna. So it's very important for us, especially when we are in leading roles, that we really learn this art of becoming instruments in the hands of the Lord. I had once a very beautiful experience, how this bhakti is given by the bhaktas. We were with Sachinandana Swami in New Vrindavan, America, for a festival. And Sachinandana Swami was staying in the same room that Radhanath Swami. And I was doing the puja of Shishi Radha Kanaya, the deities of Maharaj. And I was in the morning in the room of both Maharaj, Sachinandana Swami, and Radhanath Swami. And I was offering the ghee lamp to Radha Kanaya. And suddenly Radhanath Swami came into the room. They were all gone at that time. And suddenly Radhanath Swami arrived into the room. And as he entered the room, suddenly I felt devotion coming into my heart. I felt deep connection to the deities. And I felt, oh yeah, I'm offering this extreme pleasure. I was again like totally connected into my activities. And just the fact he entered the room, I don't know if he prayed or what he did, but immediately his devotion entered my heart. And this is very important to understand how this bhakti is given to us. This bhakti is given by the bhaktas, is given by the advanced devotee, by the pure devotee. And by serving them, by being close to them, one receives this devotion to Krishna in their heart. Another point I would like to say is, if we want to be more in tune to Krishna's plan, if we want to be empowered by Lord Krishna, we need to leave him a space. Very, very often we are so much full of our own thoughts, of our own desire to control, that actually Krishna do not have any place. Even if Lord Krishna wants to give us inspiration, wants to speak to us, or wants to give us signs, we are just not able to see them because we are too full of our own selves. We are too full of our own controlling attitude. And I have this experience sometimes when you take darshan of the deities. And sometimes I realize in front of the deities that I'm just speaking to them. I need this, I would like this, and this is my life, and this and that. And I'm just speaking to them. Constantly the mind is just running. And sometimes I say, stop. Now just listen. What are the deities wanting to tell you? What is Krishna's message to you now? And very often it happens, especially with Prabhupada deity, to go to Prabhupada and to pray, offer what respect to him, but then just listen what is coming in your heart. And very often I got very, very beautiful advices, very beautiful realization, just by this leaving a place for Krishna to come. If we are so much full of ourselves, of our own controlling moods, even though it's in Krishna consciousness, there is no space for Krishna to come and help us. And this works the same with the Vaishnavas, the advices of the Vaishnavas. If we are so full of our own selves, so full of our own desire to reach our own goals, we just cannot accept what others are telling us. We think we know better, we know better what is good for us. We are not able to actually accept advices. And this is all the what the verse is speaking today. Sati just cannot hear the advices of Lord Shiva because she's so much attached by this parental affection she has, that she has to go. She's so full of those desires inside that she cannot leave a place in her heart for the instruction of Lord Shiva. It's so good when we can be in the plans of the Lord, when we can be in harmony with what the Lord wants us to do. Last year, during the month of Kartik, I was serving my spiritual master and we were staying in Govind Nakun. And every evening, we would go down Govardhan Hill to Apsarakund and chant some japa there. And every day I came there, the stairs of the Apsara Kund, the gates, they were very dirty. A lot of plastic bags, hairs, and all imaginable dirty things you could imagine. And coming from Switzerland, it was a little disturbing for me to see all those dirty things. And often I was thinking, maybe I should clean them. But then I was thinking, no, now my service is chanting japa, I should focus on my kota of rounds. And one day, when we arrived there, Satchinandana Swami said, why don't you clean the ghats today? So it was my chance. I said, okay. So I let my japa aside, I took a broom, and for half an hour I made very, very beautiful the place. And then I went back to chant. And suddenly, the dusk came, and bridge passes started to come to the Kund. And they had trails with lights. And they started to worship the Kund, they started to worship Govardhan Hill, and to leave all those lights on the gates that were now totally clean. And then I realized, actually, today is a big festival. And today everyone is coming to worship. And I was, by the grace of my spiritual master, on that particular day, I was asked to clean the gates. And on that particular day, everyone could come to do their worship in a very beautiful and clean place.
And I felt so happy that I had been put by the mercy of my spiritual master exactly into the plans of the Lord. It's also good when those things happen that we remember them, that we write them down, because those moments are very, very important moments in our spiritual life. Those moments of deep harmony, of deep connection with the plans of the Lord. So how long do we go for this lecture?
There's no limit.
No limitation.
9 to 11, it's getting 9.
Okay. I have a lot of notes. I think we'll no, I'm joking. I just want to tell you maybe one pastime, because I try to speak about this controlling attitude that we have in this material world, which is actually unfavorable for our spiritual progress. I try to speak about Krishna, who is the supreme controller of all that happened. And now I would like to speak to a slightly different point, is that Krishna, who is the supreme controller, like to be controlled by the love of his devotees. And this is a very, very beautiful aspect of the Lord's personality. And I think devotees are very much keen about that. It's giving them a lot of shraddha, a lot of desire to serve the Lord, a lot of desire to develop their relationship deeper with Lord Krishna. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the example of Krishna when he was in Mathura. Krishna had been called by Kamsa to come in Mathura for a wrestling match. But that was the plans of Kamsa, to actually kill Krishna. So when Krishna arrived in Mathura, there was many lila happening. He met Kucha, he met the washerman, who got some new fresh clothes to look like a person of the town. And then he did break the bow of Kamsa, which was actually a big sign. Kamsa, I'm coming now to kill you. And soldiers trying to fight with Krishna, but Krishna just disappeared or killed many of them actually on the spot. He had to somehow to defend himself. And in the evening, Krishna and Balaram and the cover boys, they went back outside of Mathura. There was a beautiful garden which was like the camp of the bridge buses. And Nanda Maharaj was there. And when Nanda Maharaj heard that Krishna had broken that bow, he felt very disturbed. Oh my God, what will happen now to Krishna? Krishna and Baba, they were just both of them resting very peacefully under the cart. They did not have any anxiety that they did something wrong, that Kamsa would be angry at them. They were just resting peacefully. But Nanda Maharaj was very, very much anxious. And Nanda Maharaj was thinking, it cannot be that Krishna has broken his bow. He's just such a young boy. It must be Narayan. Narayan must have entered the body of my boy Krishna. And Narayan broke the bow. But nobody will know that Narayan broke the bow. They will go to Krishna, broke the bow. And now Kamsa will go to the case of my Krishna. What will happen? What will happen? He was very much in anxiety. The next morning, Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, you go to the wrestling arena first. We, with my friends, we will go to the Yamuna, we will take our bath, we will play there, but you already go and you reserve places for us in the wrestling arena. So that is the reason why Krishna sent Nanda Maharaj first to the wrestling arena. Krishna knew that he would have to fight with Kumalayapi. And he knew if Nanda Maharaj sees that elephant coming to fight against me, he will die. He will just die if he sees this better I send him first to the arena so that I can have a good playing fight with Kubalaya kid when I come later. So the boys were taking their bath in the Yamuna, and while they were taking their bath in the Yamuna, everyone was making the wrestling arena ready. They were decorating, they were putting flowers, and musicians were there. And they started to play with big drums. And they started to play something like military rhythm that incites people fighting. Really like big, chivalrous beats. And when Krishna and Balaram were in the Yamuna taking their bath, they heard this and they became very anxious. They said, okay, now is the time to fight him. Let's go. Let's go to the arena and let's go and take darshan of King Kamsa. So when Krishna and Balaram arrived there, the arena was already filled up by people. Everyone was there. And Krishna and Balaram entered the wrestling arena. Just before that, the beautiful fight with Kubalaya Pit. Don't want to stretch too long. But when they entered the wrestling arena, Krishna and Balaram did not just sit on the side. They started to walk in the middle of the arena to give their darshans to everybody. And they had on their shoulder the tusks of Kubalaya Kid, of that big elephant. And they had few drops of blood in their face. But this was not at all making their face ugly. This was giving a very beautiful touch on their face. And everyone could look at Krishna and Balaram from different point of view. The wrestler that were supposed to wrestle with Krishna and Balaram, they saw them as dead personified. The parents of Krishna and the friends of Krishna, the family members of Krishna, they saw them like their small boy, like their small unprotected boy. The friends of Krishna saw them like their best lover. So everyone were having darshan of Krishna in a different way. And then Chanura and Mustika, the wrestlers, they started to beat on their legs and make sign to Krishna and Balaram, come on, come on. They were showing their muscles to everyone, showing how strong they were. And Krishna and Balaram were just small boys. They said, we don't want to fight. It's not fair. You are much stronger than us. It's not fair to have this fight. And Mustika said, you just killed Kubalaya Kid. You have very strong power. Now don't try to escape. Now you have to fight. So the fight started. They started very much. They took the arms in each other, pushing and wrestling. And suddenly, everyone in the arena understood, this is not fair. They will kill Krishna and Balaram. That's not just a wrestling match to please the Lord, but it's an attempt to kill Krishna and Balaram. So everyone started to shout, stop this! We have to stop! This is Adama! This is irreligious! They are trying to kill Krishna and Balaram. Everyone became very frightened. But after some time, Krishna understood, they have too much fear. I need to finish Chanuha and Balaram on the field. I need to finish Mustika. And they just became very, very... Actually, their fight against those big wrestlers became very, very powerful. And the wrestlers lost their lives. When the wrestlers were killed, everyone shouted, Jai Shri Krishna! Jai Shri Krishna! Well done, bravo, bravo! Even the ministers of King Kamsa were fully in ecstasy. Jai, jai! And King Kamsa was thinking, what is happening? He was trying to give advices, to give orders, but actually no one was hearing anymore what King Kamsa was saying. And then Krishna called the cowboys, boys, come down in the middle of the arena, and now we want to give supreme pleasure to King Kamsa by showing how good we can wrestle. So some of the boys were a little shy to come. So Krishna went and took them by the arm and said, no, don't be shy. Now this is service to the king. We need to serve the king. We are here to serve King Kamsa. He wanted to be pleased with wrestling. We need to please him. He's come. He was a good wrestler. And they wrestled with so much beauty, so much love, that everyone was totally amazed by this wrestling of Krishna and Balaram and the boys. And what happened then is that the boys were winning over Krishna. The boys were winning the fight, and Krishna and Balaram were on the ground, tucked with their shoulders on the floor, and the boys had their head or their feet on the torso of Krishna and Balaram, showing to everyone, we are victorious. And Krishna was showing, I am defeated. I am defeated by the love of my devotees. I cannot be defeated by the demons. I cannot be defeated by the great wrestlers. But I am actually defeated by the love and devotion of my devotees. And at that time there was a musical band of Kamsa. And when they saw this beautiful wrestling, they all started to play very joyful melodies. Kamsa was angry. Hey, who told you to play? Who told you to start to play? But they were just playing, and everyone was so much enjoying this play of love. And this play of Krishna showing, I am conquered by the love of my devotees. I am controlled by the love of my devotees. So this is what I wanted to tell you today. The whole point was that in our life we come in contact with spiritual instruction. We have guides around us that try to help us. And it's very, very important that we listen to them. Although we have so many material attachments and so much desire to control that will impede us to hear from them, their advices are our only chance for progress. As long as we don't allow their advice or we don't allow spiritual energy to come into us, our life is just a struggle. Only when we let aside this deep controlling attitude, this deep attachment to the result of our activities. As soon as we can give up that, then our life becomes very, very smooth, very, very loving. We are in harmony, we are in connection, and spiritual life is just flowing like a beautiful river. So, if you have any questions or any comments,
Where do you find the detailed explanation of this lila?
I heard it from Radha Govinda Swami. Radha Govinda Swami is one of our spiritual masters from his country. He's in an Indian body, and he has access to, I guess, many shastras that are maybe not yet translated in English. Otherwise, we find a lot of information in Sanatana Darshini, Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, Gaha Samhita has also a lot of information. Gopala Champu, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, we get really, there is maybe around 8 to 10 different shastras where you can get a lot of details on the pastimes of Lord Krishna. But all I said now was directly coming from Radha Govinda Swami. He has 10 lectures on Krishna enters Mathura. So 10 times 2 hours on just these pastimes of Krishna entering Mathura. He's going in detail, so many small details, and actually those lectures are also available for download in ISKCON Desire Tree website. And yeah, I really recommend to all of you. It's really, really wonderful. So, any other comments or questions? I hope we are all inspired to try to leave more space in Krishna to enter our life, to try to keep a little loose our attachment to our own concepts of how we think life should go on, to become more and more loose on that, and to allow more and more Krishna and the Vaishnavas to model our life so that we become real jewels. We become real loving servant of our Lord. Parantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Bhaktavinda ki jai.